1 Kings chapter 17, is find your place there. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 17. 1 Kings 17, verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." With God's help, this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled, Prayer Changes Things. Prayer changes things. I'm grateful to know that God has ordained and elected prayer to be the method by which His hand moves on our hearts. Prayer changes things. Prayer has changed your life, whether you realize it or not. Prayer has changed those around you. Prayer has changed this church. Prayer has changed the community. Prayer is changing lives. And I pray that we would see the truth of that as we look to the Word of God this morning. What do you need to be changed in your life? What needs to change, friend? God can change it. He certainly can, but it's going to come through the ministry of prayer. What needs to change in a loved one's life? Can you think of some of those things? Sure we can. God can do it, whether that be a child, a spouse, a mom, a dad. God can change it. What about a situation in your life right now where you need some divine intervention? You see, obviously, if things stay the track they're going, the status quo, without something changing, there's going to be devastation. What is that that you see in your life that something has got to change? I want to preach a message to you in the subject of prayer changing things, but it also comes from a godly dissatisfaction with the status quo. In other words, may God deliver His people from a fatalistic mindset that I'm just going to float through life because what's going to happen is going to happen and I don't have anything to do to change anything. My friends, that's sin. That is sin. God has ordained an elected prayer that comes through God's people to change the courses all around us, to change our own hearts and those around us, and to see God glorified through those changes. It's amazing. It's a wonderful journey of what we desire to see through God changing things through prayer. Would you pray with me and please pray for me? Father, I'm so thankful to stand before these precious people, but I'm also very sobered, God. And I tremble at the thought of me being responsible for every person here in the context of handling the Word of God responsibly and not leading anyone astray here, not being a stumbling block to anyone here. I tremble, Lord, and I yield to You. I truly rest in the power of Your Spirit, and I pray that I would submit to the very truth that I'm preaching. Lord God, let this message flow out of my heart for Your glory. I do pray that lives would be changed today. Start it in me. In Christ's holy name, Lord, I ask that You would bind the demons that would want to interrupt and interfere with this message. I pray You'd loosen the hearts and minds of Your people here, and even lost people, that they would be in tune with Your voice. Oh God, that we would submit. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. We all have those things that need to be changed. I think about this passage here, and I think upon the desperate situation that this widow lady found herself in, and not just her, but the young boy who obviously died, was so sick that he died. But also I think about the man of God, Elijah. He needed to see something happen. He needed something to change. And I believe that God is teaching us so many lessons through this. But do we understand that God desires to use your intercession and your prayer to change your own life and those around you? Did you realize that most of the prayers of your Bible that you hold in your lap, most of the prayers in the Bible are petitionary? In other words, they are petitions. They are people, God's people, asking for things. Yes, prayer is to be praise, adoration, no doubt about it. When you come to the Lord, we see, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." There is a form of praise there, but listen, God the Father loves it when His children come and they ask. He never gets weary of our asking. He never gets weary of you coming again and again and again about those things that you need to see changed in your own life, and you're looking to see change in others. Now, let me say this. Be very careful, right? Because there is a such thing as an ungodly dissatisfaction. That's when God is doing things in our life, and they're good things, but we may see them as bad, and we get discontent. Maybe it's not exactly how we envisioned. Maybe it's not exactly how we would have done it, as if we could do a better job than God. There are times where we can get dissatisfied in an ungodly way. But there is a godly dissatisfaction to realize that, Lord, I know You're wanting to do a great work in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of this church. And so let's look at the passage. What we have here is a lady that Elijah has already ministered to, and she has ministered to him most certainly, and has helped meet some of his needs. But nevertheless, there is a famine in the land because of the judgment of God. And Elijah had a part of that too, because the people have turned their back on God. Israel turned their back. And so there's a 3-year drought taking place. And so this lady needed some oil and food, and Elijah taught her how to trust God in the first part of chapter 17. But then after God blessed and gave a victory, and as the barrels were full and there was no failing of oil for sure, the word of God was powerful to bring about this change. But then another change needed to take place. The son fell sick. The son of the woman fell sick. Now, before I go forward, I don't want anybody to get the idea that I endorse or promote faith healing, as we see a lot of times maybe on television, and these people are getting laid out. That to me, and this is one of the things that I think is a telltale sign that it's not of God. It's really for show. It's more entertainment. In this situation, where there is really a faith healing, and really where somebody was raised from the dead, can I tell you, how many people were in this story? Three, well, four if we count the Lord, of course. There's three. It's a private setting. This is not for show. This is not to be some spectacular show to impress man, although it does inspire us as we see this account unfolding before our eyes. But there's a problem here that the son falls sick. Now, the first point, if you're taking notes on God, God has ordained prayer to change things. Prayer changes things. Number one, he changes circumstances. How many of you got some circumstances that you're in right now that need to change? Maybe it's a situation that you hadn't even told anybody about. But it needs to change. Now, I'm aware that some have titled prayers, and I've done this, but some have approached God with what some have titled this as predestinarian prayers. What is a predestinarian prayer? Well, let me give you an example. It would have been as if Elijah walked in the room and this poor mother just poured her heart out to Elijah and said, "What in the world, Elijah? Are you trying to call out some sin in my life? And now you're here, and now death has come upon my son." It'd been a predestinarian prayer would have been like this. Elijah would have said something like, "Well, ma'am, it must have been God's will that your son died and left." No. Elijah didn't pray that, did he? He said, "Give me thy son." You know what he decided? "I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go pray to God Almighty, who is sovereign and in control." And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But he knew that God had the power to change that circumstance. And God has the power to change your circumstance that you are currently facing. You know, if we are perfectly willing to accept the way things are right now as God's unchangeable will, we will never be people of powerful prayer. Again, status quo is just the way things are, the way things are going to be. My prayers aren't going to make a difference. You'll never be a prayer warrior like God wants you to be. What we have to, listen, there's a difference. I don't want to get too deeply into this, but listen, there is a such thing called the secret counsels of God. That's the things we'll never know, because God is almighty, he's infinite, he's sovereign, he's above us. We will not know the secret counsels of God. They're not meant for us to know, but that's the point exactly. What do we know? Oh, we know a lot about the promises of God. We know a lot about what God has told us and the conditions he's given us to meet as his obedient children. Oh, the Lord, our loving Father, has laid it out before us and has told us that we can bring these promises before the throne of grace. That we don't have to think in some way that God is reluctant to see our situation and our circumstances and change it through the power of prayer. I'm thankful Elijah saw and knew that God could change this situation. I believe that's why in Matthew, we don't have time to turn to it. Remember when Matthew, he taught about, Jesus was teaching about prayer, and he's in chapter 7, he talked about you being, evil, know how to give good gifts. You fathers know how to give good gifts unto your children. And do you remember what he said? How much more? How much more? Think about that. How much more? Let that phrase just sink in the soul of your being. How much more will your heavenly Father give unto them that ask? His children. And I can't help but think in this situation that the father loves it. You know, I appreciate it when my children will come and ask me for help, ask me to give them some guidance or to help them in a situation, and ask for even things. Now, I have to admit, there are some things that maybe I get annoyed by, at like any parent would. But nevertheless, our Heavenly Father, He does not get annoyed when we come and ask for things that He might be honored and glorified. You can't wear the throne room of grace out when you're coming and requesting things in order to be changed for the glory of God. What a blessing. Prayer glorifies God. Answered prayer glorifies God. Believing prayer glorifies God. I want to tell you, I think we have a lot of unanswered prayers, church, because we have a lot of unuttered prayers. We have a lot of unanswered prayers because we have a lot of unuttered prayers. We're not seeking the Lord and knowing that He is ready for us to come. You've heard the parables, right? Remember the friend that was begging bread, the parable that the Lord gave, and his friends were coming in late, and so he went to his neighbor's house, his friend's house, and at midnight, and the guy was sleeping, and knocking on the door. I mean, here it is, midnight. Because what? Wiping the sleep out of his eyes. What? What do you want, man? You know what time it is? I need some bread. My friends are here. I need some bread. He's like, man, I'm paraphrasing here the parable, but he's like, oh, no, the idea is no, go away. I don't have time for this. I'm sleeping. He's like, second time, please, I need some bread. I got a situation where I don't feed those that are close to me. I need this. Man, no, I told you to go away. Well, the point of the story is he came back the third time. And he said, friend, please give me some bread. And he said, because of your importunity, I'm giving you the bread. Do you see what he was doing here? He was coming. He was asking. He was seeking to change a situation, a circumstance that he needed some bread, and God gave it. I love it. But secondly, if you're taking notes, not only does God change circumstances in your life and my life that need to be changed for the glory of God, but then there's the fact that God changes people. God changes people. Now, of course, we are changed when we're praying. Anytime you commune with the Lord, your heart is being changed. Always remember that. Anytime you are praying genuinely from the heart, your life is actually being changed. But specifically, I think about this boy that was dead. He died. The child was gone, but his life was changed. The Bible says here in your text, as he took him up to the room and laid him on the boy's bed, he laid out there in fervent prayer. And remember, we talked about last week of getting the old lords back in our hearts and our prayers, the old gods. Where are the old gods and the old lords? Here they are again. And he's crying out fervently, Lord, let this situation change. Let this boy's condition change, oh God. And I love verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. No fanfare, no show, but a prayer meeting. And by the way, that's so important to be in the prayer meeting in the secret place. What is the secret place? I don't know where yours is. Mine, I have found a good one, and I need to go to it more often. But mine, believe it or not, is on Crooked Creek. And that, I want to tell you, that creek is still just as crooked as it ever has been. But there's a beautiful section down at Crooked Creek, right behind the cemetery. Appreciate the fellas cutting the path down there the other day. It kind of gets kind of grown up. But I just go down there, and it's kind of in a with a creek going down, the sound is really good trap. So I have so much liberty there. Now somebody may be filming me and making lots of money. I don't know because of how crazy I may sound at times. But that's a secret place where I just believe it's just me and the Lord. Maybe some birds and squirrels I preach to, get a good message. But that is a secret place. Sometimes it might be in your living room, your bedroom. Sometimes it might just be going down the road. It's just you and the Lord and you driving. Please don't close your eyes. I was with a friend the other day and we were praying in the car and I closed my eyes, but obviously did not want him to close his. Well, he thought he'd be funny, and it was kind of funny. I couldn't even finish praying because I was laughing, but he purposely swerved real quick when I was praying, and I looked up with my eyes wide open. I won't tell you his initials, but his name's Mike Swafford. But anyway, it was funny. I have to admit, we were praying, but everybody should have a secret place. Because this is what Jesus said about the secret place. Please don't forget it. He says, when you pray in secret, I love it. I love it, Brother Kevin. Listen. It says, the Lord will reward you openly. Say, God, you know this circumstance and situation in my life. It's hurtful to me or it's hurtful to others. The gospel is being hindered. Lord, it's not a good situation, and I know you've allowed these situations to come into place. You're sovereign. You're not out of control, but God, I'm asking you to change this situation for the furtherance of the gospel, for the good of your church, for the good of Christian growth, and for the good of our marriage, and for the good of our parenting. Oh, God! Change this person's life and start it in me. I don't want to be the same as I was yesterday as a person. I mean, God's given me my personality. He's given in yours, and we need to be thankful for that. Our physical features, that's God. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about our character, our spiritual being. That needs to be growing. And so we can pray for our own selves and for those around us. What about salvation, praying for people's hearts to be turned to the Lord? Why do you think if the Father didn't give us liberty, you know, think about this, to change people's lives through prayer. Why do you think, I mean, so many instances in the Word where prayer was made and lives were changed, but then he gave us a commandment in 2 Timothy 2. You remember that? Where he said, no, it's 1 Timothy 2, where he says, praying for all those that are in authority. Why? So that things can change and God's people can live a peaceable and quiet life to be able to do the work of God and with the power of God. I believe that through prayers, praying for our authority. By the way, we need to be praying always for our country, praying for our president, even right now in a time of war. Praying for Israel, praying for God to work in hearts and change people. And it's amazing what God can do when when God's people pray. I think about sick people. It's the same situation. And let me just give you some encouragement here. And y'all are so good to be merciful with me. Because I'm bad about getting on little trails and I promise I'm going to try to behave. But I want to encourage you. In my own life, I'm learning that I've kind of taken the easy way out in my prayers for people that are sick. And saying, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. Now, I'm not being critical if you pray that. I'm not here saying that. But Elijah didn't pray, if it be your will. He just prayed, God, bring life to this boy that's died. And he knew it would bring glory to God, and it was as much as he knew. Now, maybe it was the secret counsels of God. I wouldn't argue that. Maybe it was the secret counsels of God for the young boy to pass away, and God was going to work some of the way. I don't deny that. But here's the thing. We don't know the secret counsels. So what we know is that we can come on the compassion and the goodness and the power of God and say, "Dear God, we pray you would heal this brother, heal this sister, heal this person of cancer. Oh God, we just pray, Lord, that you would show your mighty power." And of course, God can always bring to situations where his will is obvious to a point. But then God reveals that, right? It's obvious to a point when God will bring some of his people to a certain situation where it's near death, and we understand that it's God's will that he take them on home. But that many situations, I just believe we ought to approach the throne of grace boldly and pray for people to be healed, because James tells us to pray for the sick that they might be healed. Gather the elders together, even anoint with oil, and pray that there be healing, and let people's lives be changed through the power of prayer. Do you believe that? I don't want to have those predestinarian prayers. Well, it's just meant to be. I'm just not going to really pray about it. You know, God, you obviously have allowed this, and we're just going to accept it. No, when that has not been made, when God has not revealed that clear to us, and we have his word to stand on upon that he is Almighty God and that he can heal. And when he does, we'll give him glory. And when you say, "Well, what do you do if he doesn't, Pastor? What if you go with great confidence and he doesn't do it?" You submit to that God had a better plan. You submit to the fact that God, because he is. He knows things infinitely more than we do. And that's where I just have to say, "Lord, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to be led by your spirit." But then lastly, in closing, can you write this point down? Not only does prayer change circumstances, prayer changes people. But obviously in this account, we see that the boy had died, but God had a change of mind, if you will, a change of plan, if you will. And that's the third thing. Prayer changes the mind of God or the plan of God. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you trying to tell me that God is out of control and he has to be reminded of something that he doesn't know or a better way?" No, not at all. When I say prayer changes the mind of God, I'm not talking about his nature. I'm not talking about his character. That does not change. He's always good. He's always just. He's always right. He's a perfect judge. He's infinitely wise. He is all those things. He is love. He is grace. And I'm telling you, that I am not referring to that at all. But what I am, because we know that God changes not because of Malachi. I am the Lord and I changeth not. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible is clear. God does not change in his nature or in his characteristics or in his attributes. They are all perfect and holy, and praise God for that. But I will say this, his plans can change. You say, "How do you prove that?" Well, I could, if we had time, I'd take you to Exodus 32. I'd take you where Moses had went up to the Mount of God to meet. Moses had gone up there to meet with God on the Ten Commandments, and God gave him a little message and said, "Hey, Moses, by the way, that crowd that you left behind with Aaron in charge, by the way, they've turned on me. They're melting their earrings and their jewelry. They're making a molten golden calf and they're worshiping it." And Moses is coming down the mount and God's basically declaring he's going to wipe them out. Moses, and you know what he told Moses? I wish I had time to show you. He says, "Moses, leave me alone." Why would God tell Moses to leave him alone? In other words, God knows how prayer affects his heart. You see, some people look at God the wrong way, that he's just some mean, cantankerous, robot-like feature that just does not have any feelings, does not have any emotions, does not have just a compassion, and that he's not big enough to have a wide scheme of options to still fulfill his perfect and holy will. You see, God can do that. And God, let me remind you, God has a space in His creation that allows for flexibility for Him to work without compromising His sovereignty one bit. Did you catch that? God has a space in His creation that allows for flexibility without compromising His sovereignty, His holiness, one bit. And He never will. So Moses, even when God said that, Moses said, "Lord, please have mercy." He said, "Lord," and he brought up three things. He basically brought up the promises of God, the covenant of God, the character of God, and the reputation of God's name. He brought that up before the Lord, saying, "Lord, please don't do this. The Egyptians, they will mock people." He just basically interceded, and the Lord granted his petition. He changed his plan in that. He didn't compromise his sovereignty. His ultimate purpose was still fulfilled. But things changed. His mind, his plan changed on that. And I want to tell you, you can have an effect. Oh man, Brother Mark, I'm having a hard time getting this out because I can't. It's impossible. But God has given you and me the power to move the hand of God. In His perfect will, He delights to come and say, "Children, I've elected prayer for you to move my hand." And it's not gonna mess Him up. God's plan is gonna go forward and perfect, just like it's planned. But God has ordained that. And I think about it. Hezekiah was going to be judged because of the ways he responded. And Isaiah said, came to Hezekiah and said, "Hezekiah, by the way, prepare your home and everything because you're getting ready to die. Get your house in order. You're going to die." Soon as Hezekiah got that message, he got down on his knees and said, "Oh God, please have mercy. Please, I want to serve you. You know my heart is right with you. I want to do right. God, would you give me more time?" What did God do? The message was from Isaiah, and Isaiah wasn't lying. He wasn't a false prophet. He told Hezekiah he was going to die. But Hezekiah met the conditions to move the hand of God, and there was a change, and he lived another 15 years. The Lord used it. I think of the Ninevites. I think of the fact that God says, "Go and announce to them they're going to die in a few weeks. My judgment's coming." God had already planned that judgment was going to come. The Word of God says it. But Jonah shows up reluctantly. He goes and starts preaching. And the people supernaturally, even from a disgruntled, bitter old preacher, he didn't even want the people to get saved, but he went anyway after God dealt with him. And that's another thing where God changed. God, he was going to die, but he called out to God. But nevertheless, look what God did. The whole city got saved. There was a change. I say this, God is eager to change His judgment. As we pour out our hearts before Him and meet His conditions, He is glad, as He is so happy when we appeal to His mercy and His grace. He is so happy when His children come in faith and obedience and humility. God is actually eager and willing and excited to turn things around because He responds to us. What are we doing to see things change? Well, you can have that fatalistic attitude if you want. But brother, I'm telling you, by God's grace, I want to sign up for changing things through prayer. And I hope you'll join me, church. I hope you'll join me, brother and sister. I hope we will together see this world turned upside down for Jesus Christ and start it right here in this place. This week with Neighborhood Bible Time. Oh God, change the tide! Praise God. But I'm afraid God's people have gotten comfortable. We don't need to cry out to God to change things. You say, I've tried. You say, I've tried. I've prayed. And I've prayed. And I've prayed. And I've prayed again. And I've prayed again. And Pastor, it's not changing. What do you do? You do exactly what the Bible tells you to do. Keep on praying. There are only two times that you stop praying. It is this. When God has told you to stop, you say, God can do that? Yep. He can speak to your heart and say, stop praying about that. The other time is to stop praying is when the answer comes. But until then, keep on praying. And trust that God's working, because there is so much that we don't see that's taking place through your prayers. Has anybody heard of Peggy and Christine Smith? Raise your hand if you've heard those two names. All right. Anybody else? Peggy and Christine Smith. 82-year-old ladies. One was blind. One was severely handicapped. They were housebound. They got a burden for revival, to see God change the way their community was going. The young people had stopped coming to church. The church was dying. It was obvious that there was just a disinterest in the things of God. And they started praying. God, change this situation. Change people. Lord, your judgment is obvious. People are just turning away from you. Would you change this situation? Well, have you ever heard of the revival that took place through Duncan Campbell on the Isle of Lewis? If you can ever read that account, that was where two ladies got a burden, where they knew that prayer changed things. And my closing is this. May God raise up in this church some Peggy's and Christine's that'll believe God, that He can change things. May God help us. Let's pray.